B-Pod Studios.
Boston's home for sports. The Sports Hub.
Obviously, we didn't do anything well enough today to deserve to win, so we'll be playing next week. Still have opportunity in front of us here. We need our best football, and we didn't have it today. Hopefully, it'll be there next week.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Giants have fired their coach, Pat Shurmur. And it's that was a two-year engagement with the team.
It's another opening, Joe.
Another opening? Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, New York's not, I guess gambling's legal in New Jersey, right? Yeah. We can, I'm a little bit closer than Vegas.
That's a drive.
Yes. All right, Adam, who is bringing us the great Bob
Sosi? Oh, Bob Sosi's Hot Takes, powered by Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, it is a hot cup of Bigelow Tea before every game. Hot Takes and Hot Tea. Bigelow Tea, tea proudly.
All right, Bob, when did you know yesterday when you're doing the game that things didn't look right?
Maybe when Eric Rowe was running down the left sideline en route to the Dolphins' first touchdown. Yeah, I thought, honestly, guys, that throughout the game, the Patriots' defense, and a lot of people point to the last drive for Miami, but I thought throughout the game that, there was a different feel, there was a different look. I thought it was kind of a vanilla approach on both sides of the ball, perhaps not wanting to put too much out there with the postseason around the corner. But I just got, there was a sense that, the Patriots, right from the start, even though they got the stop and the Dolphins, failed on that fake punt, which I thought was kind of a curious decision in and of itself, if you're going to go for it on fourth and two at that situation, especially early in the game, just line up with your offense. Patriots should have been well prepared for trick plays, and they saw a lot of them yesterday while expecting a lot of them. But I just thought, as the game evolved, the Patriots obviously did very little offensively. The struggles early on were reminiscent of far too many recent games, and it was clear this was not going to be a game that played out for them the way last week's did against Buffalo.
All right, if it was supposed to be like a playoff game, we saw them kind of manage Edelman. It looked like they were trying to keep him safe. At the end of the first half, they choose not to use their timeout. Then, like you mentioned, they're keeping things vanilla, not wanting to give too much stuff away. That doesn't sound like a playoff game. That sounds like they felt like they weren't going to lose that game.
I think you can certainly make that argument. You look at it, and I think that as much as you try to point to the importance of the game with the bye at stake and in essence a playoff win, there is one thing you have to combat psychologically. You beat the team 43-0 in week two, and the stadium had a different feel to it as well, a different kind of crowd. So you've got to create that energy on your own. And I thought that, and I talked to a former player afterwards too, who said essentially the same. The passivity with the approach to the game, particularly on defense and not getting after Fitzpatrick. He got up to a real hot start. He's been playing well. And I think the one thing that I thought going in, and we talked about it on the pregame show with Chris and Mark, is that anybody thinking this Dolphins team would lay down and maybe fold like teams in the past coming up to Foxborough at the end of the season was foolish because of the way they've been playing down the stretch under Brian Flores, just the effort they've given, plus the institutional knowledge of that coaching staff for the Patriots. So I thought it would be a competitive game for a while, but eventually the Patriots would pull away and win with relative ease in the end. But, again, as you talked about, there wasn't a sense of urgency with the approach from a schematic standpoint, now obviously with the performance that you would expect of a game that was a quote-unquote playoff game.
Bob, Fred mentioned the approach going into halftime with the timeouts. I heard Bill after the game, and to me that didn't make a heck of a lot of sense. Like, why didn't he call a timeout when the Bills were punting? He said they wanted to see how they did on offense. Then he didn't really follow through on that. So his description to me was curious. I've heard, in fact, Jeff Howe, on with us earlier, said he thought it was a message to Brady and the offense going into halftime. Do you think that's what Bill was doing?
Well, you know, I asked the same question you did at the time after the Dolphins punted, or as the Dolphins were lining up to punt, why weren't the Patriots using a timeout in that situation? I have heard Belichick say in the past, and I think it was on the Belichick and Saban documentary, that you're better off to have less time and more timeouts than more time and fewer timeouts. Maybe that was part of the thinking if they got good field position. But I do think more than that, far more than that, and we said this, it was really a lack of a vote of confidence in the offense at that point, and also maybe a sense, and Zoe, I think, said it on the air, but we both talked about it off the air and felt the same way, that, you know, let's get in and get our act together, might have been the thinking at that point. Not pleased, more of an irritated feeling about the way the first half had gone, and obviously that didn't happen because they come out to start the second half and they go three and out, and then the Dolphins drive the ball. And again, you know, establish the momentum and the rhythm to control that game the way they did. Even though the Patriots eventually got the lead, there was never a sense like the Patriots, I thought, were in control of that game the way they should have been against Miami.
Now, Zolak seemed kind of resigned to the outcome on the final Dolphins touchdown. And yeah. He even said that was a great drive. Was he ever a very emotional during the game yesterday?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think upset. I think, you know, like a lot of people in disbelief for much of it, and then upset, especially the second half, before eventually, you know, resigning, you know, resigning himself to the fate the Patriots are about to suffer, but also crediting the Dolphins and the effort. I mean, there are mixed emotions, even from my standpoint. I mean, very disappointed with the way the Patriots played, and obviously the outcome now, not having a weekend off and getting into the divisional round at home. But you also feel good for Flores and O'Shea and all those coaches that, you know, I've had a chance to get to know a little bit over the course of the last few years, to see their team play well for them and them to finish 5-4. You know, that's a huge statement in terms of Brian Flores' future, I think. You know, the way they were able to finish the season.
We got, is that Zolak
that's,
in there?
That's Zoe in here yelling.
I was curious what was going on back there. Yeah. Sorry, I got distracted for a second.
What is he bitching that I'm not in the studio?
I don't know. I couldn't really make it out. He dropped off all his stuff, obviously.
Yeah, he
Fred,
kept saying something about 43-0 in week two.
Anyway.
Okay, I thought he was – because he will at some point bitch that I'm not in studio. That I can tell you.
He's in the hallway now. I think I can read his lips doing that. Oh, yeah, here he comes.
He looks like a man on a mission
today. Are you upset Fred's not in? Is that – that's what they want to know? You got any questions for Zosi?
I said Fred's not in?
No,
not at all. I'm just upset my last contract, I didn't build it in the box where I could do the salsa, because you could never tell that Fred is. See, I thought Fred was here until he said he's at his mom and dad's house.
In his underwear.
I couldn't tell with the 2-second delay or anything. It just sounds like he's in the studio right next to you.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's what $4,000 gets you. It gets you an opportunity to broadcast a couple times a year from someone's house. Well worth the money. All right, so when you see Tennessee coming in, Joe is not certain. Adam and I believe have a hard time seeing Tennessee coming in a playoff game into Gillette and winning. What are your concerns about Tennessee as you look forward to Saturday night, which is, of course, they had to put it at Saturday night. Which is just the greatest.
Yeah, by the way, Bob seems a little perturbed, by the way, that his weekend has been interrupted. Did I pick up on that, Bob? Did I pick up on that?
Me?
Right? Yes.
No.
You, how dare the Patriots? Because you're probably normally used to having a bye week here.
Well, you know, Adam, don't take it for granted. And I've learned that. Look, I've called July minor league baseball games in Clinton, Iowa, you know, for a team that was 30 games under 500.
Well, they were really good.
So, you know, there's perspective about having to call a football game on a Saturday night. I look at it more from the standpoint of the Patriots' chances to get where they want to go. They're dramatically reduced now, having to play the first weekend of the season now, the short week, and then have to go to Kansas City should they beat the Titans. And I think it's going to be a really difficult game, even though obviously they're going to be mentally in a different state of mind than I think they were yesterday against the Dolphins. But Tennessee has Vrabel and Dean Pease, first of all, to craft the defensive game plan. We've seen what Vrabel did with the defense from Houston a few years ago in the divisional round against the Patriots team that was playing a lot better at the end of the year, but Houston was hamstrung by its quarterback, Brock Osweiler. Well, now that the Titans have a quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, who's played well in the context of that offense the last half of the season, played very well, in fact. And they've got Derrick Henry, who's a powerful running back. We've seen the Patriots struggle against running backs like Nick Chubb and Joe Mixon in recent weeks, and I think that Henry is going to be a load for them to handle offensively. But beyond that, they've got speed at the wide receiver position, and they have more than serviceable tight ends. And the Patriots had a difficult time with their tight ends. You know, last year, certainly, when they were routed at Tennessee, there's also the knowledge that the Tennessee players have. They've gone head-to-head with the Patriots, granted, at home last year, and they whipped the Pats in that game. And they, you know, they have a lot of guys, too, that understand what it's like to come into New England or to play in New England as a home player and that kind of a setting. So I don't think, you know, with Vrabel's approach, Vrabel's attitude, but more than that, I just think that the way they're playing of late, the matchup itself, it's a really tough game for the Pats.
All right. Well, listen, Bob Soucy, the big Saturday night game, which is what everyone was
hoping for. Look, it's exciting. It's the playoffs. I mean, you know, as Matthew Slater said yesterday, you know, nobody should be moping around. You know, we're lucky we get to call a regular season. We're lucky we get to call a preseason game. So I'm fired up about Saturday night.
No, I was just talking personally.
No, yeah, no. No, I appreciate that.
No, I was saying from my own standpoint. All right, Bob Soucy, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. We will continue to talk about the Patriots, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
Bob Soucy,
you're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And good news, it's icing out. And I'm supposed to fly out today, so that should go well.
It's icing where? Here or there?
That's what I was just told. It was icing in Boston.
That's what it's doing out there? It looks gross.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Tracy just told me it's icing in Boston.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So this should be a fun day. Tracking around the kids. Chilling at the airport.
Yeah. Well, you're flying private, right? I'd imagine. You know, you're flying private right back to Boston.
Am I the only one who's constantly in the back of the plane? Like, going from Charlotte to Knoxville, we were literally in the last row of the plane. And
is, that
then,
a big, is that a big flight? That can't be a terribly big plane, right?
No, there's 20 rows.
Okay.
And two and two. And then on the flight from Boston to, what did I say, Atlanta? Or Charlotte, whatever one. I can't think of off the top of my head.
You said Charlotte, but I don't know which.
We're like five rows from the back of the plane. We always buy our tickets in advance. I don't know what, I have no idea what I've done to the airlines for them to punish my family, so. It's when you flew Joe to Vegas, were you in the front of the plane?
Middle of the plane. I guess closer to the front, yeah.
See, it doesn't make any sense. When you went to Charlotte, Jones, were you at the back of the plane?
No, we were basically right in the middle both ways. A little in front of the wing on the way there, a little in the back of the wing on the way back.
We're just in the back.
Yeah, that's
and especially
no good.
And especially if we have a little bit of we only have like a half an hour to get from one plane to the other for the layover. Then we're definitely in the back of the plane.
Yeah,
and then you can see
could be like a CPAP discrimination sort of thing. Maybe they're holding that against you.
Well, I don't have this. I didn't.
No,
have
I'm saying
the
from
CPAP.
The, maybe they flagged you in the past, and now you're currently on the airline's list. You know,
I don't know. And then there's old ladies, and they then they need help with their bags, and then they sit and look in their bags. And then everyone else gets their carry-ons on.
Yep. You're back there. It's all jammed up back there.
Yeah, it's all jammed up.
You're near the toilet.
We were right next to the toilet.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the back of
Knoxville thing. I mean,
that's sloshing around right next to you. You don't want that.
I mean, when I say next to, like, my back was on the toilet, like on the wall separating me from the toilet.
Yeah. Whoa. That's good.
I've never experienced that. So.
And
you're going to want headphones for that.
And one of the stewards. His seat was right against the bathroom door. So if you thought about the convenience of the bathroom, that is out the window. So we're always in the back of the plane.
Hey, Fred, do you pick your own seats, though?
Yeah, but there's never anything available. It just there's nothing available. It just constantly put us in the back. I don't know. I don't know.
I get the extra space seating. I like that.
You pony up for the extra?
I definitely pony up. Or if I'm in a seat and there's two people next to me, I'm like, hey, is there an open seat or an open row? I always do that.
You're on flights that have open rows?
You got to fish around sometimes. For some seats there, Fred.
Yeah, occasionally.
Because Joe, if you don't know, cannot fit in an airplane bathroom.
I cannot fit in an airplane bathroom. That is a fact.
So he will fly as far as Vegas without using the bathroom.
Can you fit in an airplane bathroom? Like a normal airplane, you can.
One or two, though. That makes a difference. Yeah, he said one.
Is that Zoe?
Yeah, he's there.
He's next to us.
He spilled a coffee or something all over the place in here, so he's currently cleaning it up.
Is that why he's banging on the table?
Yes, correct. Yes. There's a big coffee disaster in here, yeah.
Okay. How come I can not even be there, have no video of you guys, and no Zolex in the room, even if he's not talking?
Oh, you're telling me you picked up on the giant banging of the table in the background? That was very perceptive.
Yeah, I was going on. Something's going on. Maybe there's construction. And I realized, oh, no, that's Zolak.
I mean, he's, like, ready to go today here, Fred.
Yeah.
He's here early. He's got his headsets. It's 9:25, dude. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's the head honcho HR guy today.
Oh, that's why you're here early.
Meathead Radio.
You got to get prepped. He's laying out his show sheet as we speak. He's saying, here's block one. Here's the second break. Mm. That's what he's doing.
Really? They have a show sheet?
Well, I don't know. He's got a piece of paper in front of him. A little coffee stained, but he's got a piece of paper in front of him.
My goodness.
That's big time.
He's a man who's not afraid to spill coffee in a studio. This has happened in the past. Yeah. This happened in the past. All right, so...
it's a nice aroma in here.
I was thinking about this. If you are Brady, and indeed you feel your skills are diminishing, and say that, you know, the Patriots are wavering on whether they want you or not, and you feel that you won't be able to play to your prior ability, and that will be a news story, and that will be a storyline that goes throughout the season. Does that make you think about retirement because of your TB12 brand? Because if a narrative the whole season is, well, he's not what he used to be, he's 43 years old, you know.
Does that hurt him business-wise?
Yeah, and, like, would it be worth, because he's all in on this business, obviously, and I think it means more to him than money. Do you think that he would maybe be advised you might want to retire because it's going to hurt the brand?
Well, those are two different – he might be advised to do that. I have no idea, but I would think if you're Tom Brady, just judging on the way he feels this year, I think if you're Brady, he says, put some pieces around me. Put some actual, and we can debate how much the Patriots put pieces around him. I think they certainly tried by drafting Harry.
Of course they tried.
Using a pick on Sanu. Right, but you know, you can lie to yourself, especially at this stage of your career, and say, hey, well, if I'm just surrounded with the right pieces, I can get more out of myself. Brady may be getting counsel that's a poor business decision, which I also think, when you say I'm going to play till I'm 45, then you only make it till you're 42. That's not the greatest business decision either, because if selling your brand is, hey, I can play forever and you can't even make it to your own goal, that's not great for the brand.
But you could make the narrative that, hey, I've always really enjoyed playing football, but, you know, I just this offseason I've been thinking about it and I want to focus on my other interests. I want to focus on TB12.
Yep.
As opposed to, I mean, because he can still say, especially if they beat Tennessee, you can still say, look, I had no skill position players.
I threw for 4,000 yards, and we won 12 games, we won a playoff game. Right, like that's still defensible that you weren't as bad as we all watch you be each and every Sunday.
Right, and so you won't remember that last season like right. You do Peyton Manning and go, oh, God, like he got through that thing. So I just question if that would be a factor in him not wanting to come back.
I just look at it like this, like Eli Manning could be out in New York. We already talked about Phillip Rivers. I mean, are there other quarterbacks in the league that you would take Brady over right now? Like, would you take Brady over Jameis Winston just to mention?
Yes.
It? Yes. Okay, so that's what I mean.
Are we talking about for, like, a season?
Yeah, two years. Like, he wants to play till he's 45. So,
if I would take him over Winston, yes.
Yeah, over Winston and then, I don't know, Matt Ryan?
I would still personally take Brady.
Okay, that's what I mean. So there's still value of him.
But what do you do with Ryan?
Well, I think it's just more of a hypothetical exercise.
Yeah, okay, if it's a hypothetical, yes, I would take Brady over.
So Ryan. We still see Brady as a starting echelon quarterback in the league. Like, so that's what I mean. So, to his credit,
I think he's fallen off. I think he's fallen off from his standard. I don't think he's fallen off and like can't play.
Okay, all right. So for the Patriots, then all I think they would need to do is actually get playmakers, and I don't know, maybe get two tackles. Like, they need two offensive linemen. They need a real tackle who can play. And then, I don't know, I think they need to get younger in the secondary somewhere. A little bit more.
Right, well, that's a lot of needs, and they can't draft. So,
that is an issue.
The drafting thing's there, yep. And they might lose.
I mean, they've took, obviously you would think Sony Michel was a huge difference maker, and I know it's late in the first round, but I mean, when you take him in the first round, and then, you know, they take a receiver in the first round last year, N'Keal Harry, who was people liked coming out of college. And, I mean, what else are they going to do? I mean, they've used picks. They've used capital. They used the second-round pick for Sanu.
Damian Harris is the only thing I could think of. They usually redshirt guys, and they make an impact their second year. It's
but
happened
the
with
thing
everybody.
About the, we talked about that earlier, like, this month. And my thing about that is, I understand you redshirt guys and they get to know the system or maybe you save a year.
But they do perform, Fred, the next year. They do.
Okay, that's fine.
Some of them.
Okay, but why would I do it this year? Like, this year when you're struggling offensively like that, why wouldn't I play who I have?
Right, it makes sense when you're lighting the world on fire to redshirt a guy, but they're not lighting the world on fire with offense.
And he's dynamic.
Also, they're redshirting their whole draft, just about, except for the punter. So that would be my issue. Like, okay, fine, you want to redshirt a guy here or there, I get that. They're basically redshirting everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, Harry, it took a while. Harry's ultimately out there. But Jawan Williams just barely got on the field yesterday.
Jonathan Jones has sucked, even though I know he was injured the last couple of weeks. He was good the first eight games. Last eight games, I don't think he played well.
Yeah, but just I
think he's hurt them.
I don't... It's easier said than done to just surround Brady with a couple of weapons, I think is Fred's point, because they've been trying and they can't draft, or they haven't been drafting well.
Yeah, so I just don't know how you've used your second-round pick already on a receiver. I don't know what you're going to get in the draft. I don't know, you know, are you going to go special, are you going to go skill position players again in the draft this year? I mean, at what point are you going to address, like you said, defensive needs? At what point are you going to, you know, go offensive line? So I just don't know how they're going to get much help with skill position. You could always bring Antonio Brown back. He seems to be doing well.
Yeah, he's a hot commodity out there, apparently. Talking to the Saints.
Yeah, well, you can have fun talking to him, yep. And then the league saying no. So that will be good. All right, when we come back, we will do the stack. Here are the headlines.
More Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Is a or Mademoiselle Muff is a very courteous cat. This cat won't stop. It just won't stop. All right. So Barack Obama released his favorite movies.
Oh.
Of 2019, and I'll tell you what, the man likes a movie.
Yeah.
He likes to watch movies. So, Arangay, how many of these movies have you seen? American Factory.
No.
Have you even heard of it?
No.
No.
Amazing Grace.
No.
No.
Apollo 11.
No.
Never heard of it. Didn't see it.
Ash is the Purest White.
No.
No.
Atlantics.
No. No. Do you think these are actually his movies, or do you think somebody just told him, hey, these are cool and buzzy?
I think someone's trying to be like kind of a hipster.
What the hell are these?
I don't know. These are, you know, movies that are probably very small releases. They're not this cat. I'm going to kill this cat. All right. You have to get out of here. All right. It's enough.
Just throw some food out the door and then just shut the door on it.
That's impossible in this place. I
sometimes get a spray bottle.
Oh, yeah, I get you. Yeah, if you could concoct a spray bottle situation.
MacGyver
up there,
situation.
Yeah, mid-segment, I think you could get the cat to go away.
Yeah, all right, very good. So, okay, I will continue. Birds, Booksmart.
Nope.
No.
I've heard of that.
Oh.
Oh, my God, cat. All right, Diane.
the cat liked Booksmart, I think. I think that's what I was trying to tell you.
She's saying that these are movies that she liked. The Farewell.
Nope. No.
Ford versus Ferrari.
No, I have heard of that one at least, but no, I did not see it. No.
All right, The Irishman, you know, Just Mercy. Nope.
No.
The Last Black Man in San Francisco.
No,
definitely not.
Little Women, I've heard of.
I've heard of Little Women. Yes.
It's a Marriage Story.
No. Definitely not.
Parasite.
Nope. No.
The Souvenir.
No.
No.
Transit.
Nope.
All right. Are you calling BS on Obama's
Yes.
List?
Yes. Yes.
I'm calling BS on this. This seems like someone who's trying to be a little cool, too cool for the room.
Yeah.
And by the way, he has his own production company.
Oh, is there a link to any of those? Did he pick any of his own films there? Or have they put out
he
films?
He says that, next to, of course, there's the American Factory of Film from our own production
company. Oh, well, there you go. See, there you go.
I mean, I didn't see Joker on there. Or...
yeah, where was the new Star Wars? Where that,
Toy
that
Story Ray 4 was? Or something.
Yeah.
I want to see that Joker so bad. I just think that's going to be the funniest thing in the world. Anytime someone throws themselves into like a maniacal character,
yeah,
I can't stop laughing.
Wait, so you haven't seen it yet?
I have not.
What are you waiting for? Just out of curiosity,
is it up? Can you get? Well, first of all, I couldn't sleep in the entire time I was in Tennessee. My parents don't. My parents have Apple TV.
Yep,
but they don't know how to.
Wait,
hook
my
it up.
My in-laws have Apple TV, and it was they had it working, but it still baffled them. They were very happy they had it though. They're like, we have the Apple TV. No, I'm like, great, but like, does it work?
Yeah, my parents got Apple TV, and they have it. It's on.
Yeah,
but they have no idea how to plug it into the television or what. Mm. I think actually someone came over and set it up for them, but they don't understand it to such a degree that they've just given up.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the key is you have to use the actual television remote, where people use the other remote. And they have, like, an issue. That's what I do, at least.
Oh, is it a remote situation?
Yeah, sometimes you got to just use the actual TV remote to get, or it's like an HDMI thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. Somebody. Is that my, and then my mother wants me nowhere around that. She says, you're not touching that thing.
Yep.
And another thing that they won't get is driving apps.
Like GPS and stuff?
Yeah, right. So Waze. Every time my father takes me to the airport... or it takes me back from the airport, we invariably end up somewhere else.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say, like, hit traffic something. Like, because they didn't look at the traffic patterns. Oh, No. They're just taking wrong turns and stuff.
What about maps? Like, remember the old maps days? Did they just pull those out sometimes?
If they drive here to if they drive from Knoxville to Boston, they have, like, the Rand McNally maps.
Yep.
Like, the laminated ones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's and then they never argue. There's nothing no. more.
It says there's a gas station coming up in 5 miles.
Yeah, there's nothing that says more let's not argue than a map and the difference opinions on a map.
Right.
Yeah, they're just going at it the entire time. And my dad has this old Jeep. Not like a Jeep Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had it. He bought it used 15, 16 years ago.
Okay.
And when you sit on the seat, it smells like a million farts.
Oh, just been unleashed. You really smell? You're a seat sniffer?
No, when you sit on it, it kind of puffs. Oh,
I didn't. Right. Yeah, I sniffed my dad's seats. I mean, I go to the movies and sniff the seats.
Right.
No, but yeah. No,
yeah, it's like a new smell. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. It's part of the experience. Yeah. No.
You never know when you're going to hit the jackpot. Yeah.
Maybe laugh. Exactly. Maybe laugh.
Yeah, but when you sit down, it does unleash. Like, you can ask my wife. Like, it unleashes this just cloud of fart smell.
And crop dust.
And then there's, like, stuff on the dashboard that you don't know if it's like boogers or lettuce or like whatever the hell's going on in there.
Right.
It's just the worst, and he will not get rid of it. And he's like, people have complimented me on this, on the car. I said, would you drive into a homeless shelter?
Like, they're like, wow, car.
Wow, exactly.
Wow. This car.
Yeah,
I'd live here.
This is a 2004 Grand Cherokee.
Yeah.
Hot dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's and so then there's every time he's driving, like something's going off. Like the
dashboard lights and stuff?
Yeah, because it's all old, so it's got all these dashboard lights.
Yep.
And I'll go, what is that? And he'll go, like, ah, don't worry about it. And like, what's that? And, don't worry about it.
Don't worry. Airbags don't work. Don't worry about it.
It's not even that. It's like, were we going to break down?
Yeah.
Because there's areas around here that if you break down,
You're nowhere near anything.
Right.
Right.
You're basically just going to sit there, especially on the way to the airport, because you don't take a conventional highway. So if you break down, you're like just in this area. There might be like a trailer a mile ahead of you.
Yep.
But you are, for all intents and purposes, stuck. So my wife loves my father's car. There's nothing like, and then not, there's nothing.
It's all,
like,
wait, it's not all the seats. It's just the driver's seat, right? All the seats?
The driver's seat is the only thing I can say for sure. But they're at an age where farting is
inadvertent. Yeah.
Yeah. Like where you're not gonna where they're farting.
Yeah.
Like regardless.
Do you think they're kind of noticing each other? Are they at that point where it's just kind of happening and they're not really noticing?
No, my father has been a intense farter for many, many years.
Yeah.
He has been an intense man of gas. He wore tighty whities and that was exciting.
So this is how we're ending the decade, huh? Fart talk. I love it.
Well, this is how I'm ending the decade.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want me to say?
No, I love fart talk. It's where it's at.
Well, listen, then you love this show.
I do.
Because that's what you're getting.
Does the cat ever let one rip?
No. Mm. The cat just has now just decided to rest on the keys of the computer and turn it off, essentially. Well, listen, she waited until 9:45 to completely start ruining things.
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually, all things considered.
Yeah. Everyone left the house, and so she decided, hey, I'll come up and screw with you.
Need some human interaction, yeah.
Yeah.
You might just be spoiled with how well-behaved your cat is. Mm. You know, maybe most cats are like this, and you're just spoiled that you have such a well-behaved, world-renowned kitty
20-year-old lady of class and sophistication.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, what are the chances in Zolak makes it? What are the chances Zolak makes it in for the crossover?
He's been here.
He's wandering around. I'll tell you, he's like writing out some playoff bracket or something that he left in here. So I don't know what that's all about, but he looks very well prepared.
He looks very upset too, Fred. Like this game really hurt him yesterday.
So he has actual papers?
I'm not joking. There's like an actual playoff bracket that he wrote on the table here.
I can honestly tell you, and I'm the same way, so I'm not disparaging the man, but I have never seen him with a paper in front of him.
He's ready to go. Man's ready to go.
How long has this station been on the air?
10 years.
10 years.
Plus. 10 plus.
10 years plus.
Yeah. Mm.
So I've never seen him with papers in front of him.
Well, it's handwritten. It's pretty good. So it's very legible. Nice handwriting.
And so it's a playoff bracket?
Yeah, it looks like it.
All right. Well, I'm interested to hear what he has to say.
Games and times. There's some highlighters on there, a little highlighter action on there.
No way.
Yes. It is high. What's the past tense of highlight? High lit? It's high lit.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this I got to hear.
Yeah.
All right. We will be back. Hopefully, we will be talking with Scott Zolak, and we can figure out what's going on with all these papers and hello.
Was that the cat? What the fuck was
that? Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Doesn't want to cooperate.
Oh. Hello. All right. listen, it worked until the end.
Yeah.
All right. Is that Zolak?
That's of course, that is Zoe, yes.
Uh-huh. He better be in that seat when we do this crossover.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.